Right now on VFN TV, hundreds of headstones are vandalized in Philadelphia and Missouri of Jewish cemeteries. The president speaks out. The vice president speaks out. Also today on the program, President Trump will be speaking at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's a great program for you. It's going to bless you. Join us right now.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Who would have ever thought this would be taking place? You're looking at all of a sudden when leadership gets into office and Israel starts getting support, and America and Israel start standing together, of all the things that begin to happen, as we talked about in our previous program, persecution against the church in around the world, but in Egypt, but also cemeteries, Jewish cemeteries in Philadelphia and Missouri have been vandalized by people coming. Anti-Semitism appears to be on the rise. As a matter of fact, let's go right now to Philadelphia.
Sarah, we first came out here about 11 a.m. yesterday, and it was bad. The damage was immense. So many of these tombstones were toppled over. I can tell you now, in over 24 hours since we've come back, I have noticed a lot have been reset. That's very nice to see that so many people in this community have come out here and they're starting to try and fix things up. But what's really sad is you'll see behind me here are these old style tombstones like that that don't rest on a base. Those have been split in half, and those are the kinds of ones that will never be able to be fixed. For people like Adrian Berger, seeing what's happened here at Mount Carmel Cemetery has made her feel something she thought she never would. That's scared because of her faith.
I felt like suddenly unsafe as a Jewish person.
She came to check on her parents' grave. Luckily, hers was spared. That's not the case for the many others that were knocked down from Chopper 6. You get a larger picture of the scale of damage. But Berger says not all is lost. She knows people are already coming together.
I have to say that when I went on Facebook and my friends called me and saw that there were Muslim groups coming to help and non-Jewish groups and Jewish groups, so many people came right away to start lifting up the stones and, you know, starting a Kickstarter. And it did kind of lift my spirits a little bit.
The Philadelphia police continue their investigation today to try and figure out who terrorized the Jewish cemetery in Wissanoming. They've called it an abominable crime. You won't find anyone who disagrees with that, including Mayor Jim Kenney, who's speaking out.
This ethnic, religious, and bigotry needs to stop. It needs to be put an end to.
The Jewish Federation is also here at Mount Carmel Cemetery looking things over in disbelief.
What we're trying to do is gather as much information as possible, so that we can, as a united Jewish community and the larger community of all religious groups, try to understand what has occurred here.
At this point, no word from detectives on who they think did this. Okay, another live look out here at Mount Carmel Cemetery. You can see so many people have come out here to check on loved ones' tombstones and really just to look things over in disbelief of what's happened here. Now, at this point, the Philadelphia police have not officially called this a hate crime yet, and the official number, the amount of tombstones toppled over, has not been released yet. Now, reporting live in Wissanoming, Bob Brooks, Channel 6.
I mean, think about this. I mean, you're looking at Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in great relationships with one phone call from President Trump when he first got into office. They just joined together, as we had that on our program, had a joint press conference. We've embraced Israel. We're treating the Jewish people with the respect that they deserve from our nation. The previous administration was seemed set against to be able to embolden the enemies of Israel. And it's like, why would this be happening? Well, you're looking at the enemies of Israel and the enemies of Jews and the enemies of Christians are being fueled during a time like this. Understand that we got to pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters and citizens. It was good to see, you know, other people come out and begin to support. They got a Kickstarter fundraiser thing to be able to support the cemetery, but we want it to be stopped and prevented. And you would think, you know, now that we're back in relationship with Israel, that everybody would be happy. Well, the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the church, they're not going to be happy when things are going right. So it's time for us to stand in the gap. As a matter of fact, our president, he was visiting the National Museum of African American History and Culture, and he had a chance to be able to speak out against this anti-Semitism that's taking place. Let's join him now.
the anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful, and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil.
So you're looking at, you know, our president saying, you know, we've got to stop this. We've got to join with it and begin to pray and ask God to be able to stop the persecution of Jews and Christians. In our previous program, Franklin Graham put out a call to an urgent prayer, you know, for the church to begin to pray for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East. So you're looking at this rise going on. Well, Vice President Mike Pence, he went to Missouri and he spoke out about against what was taking place. Against these Jewish cemeteries and gathering places for the Jews in America, and spoke out against it. Let's join Vice President Mike Pence now.
On Monday morning, America awoke to discover the nearly 200 tombstones were toppled in a nearby Jewish graveyard. Speaking just yesterday, President Trump called this a horrible and painful act, and so it was. That, along with other recent threats to Jewish community centers around the country, he declared it all a sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil. We condemn this vile act of vandalism and those who perpetrate it in the strongest possible terms. And let me say it's been inspiring to people all across this country to see the way the people of Missouri have rallied around the Jewish community with compassion and support. You have inspired this nation with your kindness and your care.
Aren't you so grateful for Vice President Mike Pence? He's like the gentle hand of, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on this man, obviously, and he's just so kind and he's so compassionate. He spoke, as we showed you, at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. You know, life is winning again. And here he is to be able to stand there against the persecution coming against the Jewish centers in Missouri and the cemeteries. As a matter of fact, he even went to the cemetery. Let's join KY3 News right there in Missouri. Vice President Mike Pence.
There's no place in America for hatred or acts of prejudice or violence or anti-Semitism.
While visiting Missouri on Wednesday, Vice President Mike Pence made a stop at the St. Louis area Jewish cemetery that was vandalized over the weekend. Around 180 headstones had been knocked off their bases at the Hesed Shel Emes Cemetery. Most, if not all, had been replaced by Wednesday afternoon. Pence joined Missouri Governor Eric Greitens and hundreds of community members in cleaning up the cemetery.
The people of Missouri are inspiring the nation by your love and care for this place, for the Jewish community in Missouri, and I want to thank you for that inspiration, for showing the world what America is really all about.
The outpouring of support for the community didn't stop in Missouri. Muslim activists started a crowdfunding campaign to help with the cost of repairing the headstones. It raised over $80,000 in 24 hours. The vice president's visit came a day after President Trump condemned anti-Semitism, including recent bomb threats at Jewish community centers.
The anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful.
That is so good to be able to see our vice president stand up for the American citizens, stand up for the against the anti-Semitism that's taking place. When we get back from this break, the president visits and gives a speech at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I can't wait to go there myself. It just opened up. And he is the second standing president to be able to visit. President Obama was the first. And he gives a speech from there, just a very powerful speech about our culture and our history. And Dr. Evita King is there. And, you know, we've always talked about Dr. King and the 10 commitments from Dr. King, her uncle, and her stand for life. And now she's at the right hand of our president, along with Dr. Ben Carson. And it's just exciting to be able to see these days. So we'll have that speech coming to you. Plus, we'll have for you a prophetic dream, a dream the Lord just gave about how, you know, if you know history, that President Bill Clinton was so good at being able to help the African-American community in America. He was called the first African-American, first black president. They called him that. And of course, when President Obama became the first African-American president. He lost that title because obviously, you know, President Obama was the first African-American president. But God talked about both of these in a dream, both these men, and then find out, because the Lord said that President Donald Trump would be the best thing, greater than those two men, what they did for the African-American community. God's saying that President Trump's going to do great things for the African-American brothers and sisters in America. It's exciting to see what's going on. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mr. Joyner and Mr. Jones, what advice would you offer young people going into ministry as their call on their life and stuff?
Do good and don't mess up.
No. Stay hungry and thirst, seek and knock.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN-TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's so exciting to see our president go to the National Museum of African American History and Culture, and it just opened up, and it's a story that needs to be told. It's sad that in America, up till just recently, if you wanted to find out about people are still finding out today, true African American history, you had to actually take, you know, if you're African American, you got to take your own history in a separate class. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. We need to have one history, one American history brought together.
Absolutely.
And I hope that this is going to do it, you know, begin to represent that.
I was going to say, or attend a historically black college who, you know, is well versed in the history.
Right.
But apparently the president met also with all of the presidents of historically black colleges and supposedly they're working on, allegedly working on a executive order that's going to help these colleges out.
And God specifically spoke. He spoke. We're going to share with you in just a moment in a prophetic dream talking about that President Trump will be the best president, at least out of President Bill Clinton and President Barack Obama, that God is going to use President Donald Trump in such a way that's even greater for the African-American community than what they did. So they did a lot for the African-American community. So we'll be able to have that in just a moment. But first, this is President Donald Trump. He's at the National Museum of African-American History and Culture, and he's given a speech from there. Let's join him now.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's a great honor to be here. This was some beautiful morning, and what a job they've done, like few others have been able to do. I am very, very proud of Lonnie Bunch, the work and the love that he has in his heart for what he's done. Is I always talk about, you need enthusiasm, you need really love for anything you do to do it successfully. And Lonnie, you are where? Come on. Where's Lonnie? You should be up here, Lonnie. Come on. And David, we have to get David up here too. David Skorton is tremendous, and he was singing Lonnie's praises all morning long. So you two should at least be here. So we appreciate it very much. And David Rubenstein, who's here someplace, he is, come on, David, you have to get up here, David. You certainly deserve it. He's a very, very successful guy who spends money doing great things, and he's been a great help to so many different groups, and this one in particular. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here today. This museum is a beautiful tribute to so many American heroes. Heroes like Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Rosa Parks, the Greensboro students, and the African American Medal of Honor recipients, among so many other really incredible heroes. It's amazing to see. I went, we did a pretty comprehensive tour, but not comprehensive enough. So Lonnie, I'll be back. I told you that. Because I could stay here for a lot longer, believe me. It's really incredible. I'm deeply proud that we now have a museum that honors the millions of African-American men and women who built our national heritage, especially when it comes to faith, culture, and the unbreakable American spirit. My wife was here last week and took a tour, and it was something that she's still talking about. Ivanka is here right now.
Hi, Ivanka.
And it really is very, very special. It's something that, frankly, if you want to know the truth, it's doing so well that everybody's talking about it. I know President Obama was here for the museum's opening last fall, and I'm honored to be the second sitting president to visit this great museum. Etched in the hall that we passed today is a quote from Spotswood Rice, a runaway slave who joined the Union Army. He believed that his fellow African Americans always looked to the United States as the promised land of universal freedom. Today and every day of my presidency, I pledge to do everything I can to continue that promise of freedom for African Americans and for every American. So important. Nothing more important. This tour was a meaningful reminder of why we have to fight bigotry, intolerance, and hatred in all of its very ugly forms. The anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful, and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil. I want to thank a great friend of mine, Dr. Ben Carson, and his beautiful family, Candy and the whole family, for joining us today. It was very special to accompany him and his family for the first time seeing the Carson exhibit. First time. Oh, I'm so proud. I love this guy. He's a great guy. Really a great guy. And he can tell you better than me, but I'll tell you what, we really started something with Ben. We're very, very proud of him. Hopefully next week he'll get his approval. About three or four weeks late, and you're doing better than most, right? But the Democrats, they'll come along. I have no doubt they'll come along. But Ben is going to do a fantastic job at HUD. I have absolutely no doubt he will be one of the great ever in that position. He grew up in Detroit and had very little. He defied every statistic. He graduated from Yale, and he went on to the University of Michigan's medical school. He became a brilliant, totally brilliant neurosurgeon, saved many lives and helped many, many people. We're going to do great things in our African-American communities together. Ben's going to work with me very, very closely. And HUD has a meaning far beyond housing. If properly done, it's a meaning that's as big as anything there is. And Ben will be able to find that true meaning and the true meaning of HUD as its secretary. So I just look forward to that. I look forward to watching that. He'll do things that nobody ever thought of. I also want to thank Senator Tim Scott for joining us today. A friend of mine, a great, great senator from South Carolina. I like the state of South Carolina. I like all those states where I won by double digits, you know, those states. But South Carolina was one, and Tim has been fantastic how he represents the people. And they love him. I also want to profoundly thank Alveda King for being here. And as we saw, her uncle's wonderful exhibit, and he certainly deserves that. Mrs. King, and by the way, Miss King, I can tell you this personally because I watch her all the time, and she is a tremendous fighter for justice. And so, Alveda, thank you very much. I have been watching you for so long, and you are so incredible. And I want to thank you for all the nice things you say about me. Not everybody says nice things, but she's special.
I love you and your family. You're the best. You're great.
Thank you. Come here.
Thank you,
darling. Appreciate it. So with that, we're going to just end this incredible beginning of a morning. But engraved in the wall very nearby, a quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., in 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." And that's what it's going to be. We're going to bring this country together, maybe bring some of the world together, but we're going to bring this country together. We have a divided country. It's been divided for many, many years, but we're going to bring it together. I hope every day of my presidency, we will be honoring the determination and work towards a very worthy goal. And for Lonnie and David and David and Ben and Alveda and everybody, I just want to, I just have to say that what they've done here is something that can probably not be duplicated. It was done with love and lots of money, right, Lonnie?
Lots of money.
We can't avoid that. But it was done with tremendous love and passion, and that's why it's so great. So thank you all very much for being here. I appreciate it. And congratulations. This is a truly great museum. Thank you.
This is so exciting to see that, you know, hearing him quote that. It's just a powerful thing. And we'll have, actually, Lonnie's going to be taking us through or an interview coming up about the museum. But first, you know, God doesn't do anything unless he reveals it prophetically first. He reveals it to someone prophetically. He talks about that in Amos chapter 3:7, I believe, or something of that nature. But when he speaks, he says, does not God speak? He speaks. Job 33 talks about that in a dream. You know, he says in Acts chapter 2 or 1 that he's going to pour out a spirit and he's going to, people are going to dream dreams, and God speaks to us that way. Well, God just spoke to us about President Donald Trump. And he spoke to Brianna Boleander in regards to, and she didn't know anything about the history, so it's so good to be hearing this. And she's at the VFN Dream Center. She's talking to me, and she's just sharing with me what the Lord has shown her. And this is her sharing her dream. So this is fresh off
the
press.
Fresh.
This is just came out this week, this Sunday, and God just spoke to her. And he's talking specifically about the injustice that's taking place. When you know, President Trump's saying that justice will come like a mighty river, that God's talking about that
As a matter of fact, listen to this. This is the prophetic dream. You know, Brianna's sharing it with me, and we're talking back and forth about it. And God's got great things in store for America, and he sees the injustice, and he's going to do something about it. And it looks like President Trump is going to be that person that does it. Take a look.
So I had a dream last night that I was in like a Sam's Club, like a huge warehouse type grocery store. And I was with President Trump and one of his advisors, and I was kind of leading him through. And there was this young African-American man there with us. And the whole time as we're walking through the store, he's just talking to President Trump, just talking and talking and talking. And so as we're going through the aisles, each aisle was an issue, like taxes and poverty. And as we walked through those aisles, it was so crowded, it was difficult to get through them. And then some aisles we passed through, they were just completely blocked off. We couldn't even go there. And we came up to this one aisle. And all the while, this young African-American man is just talking and talking. He's so excited. And we came to this one aisle, and at the end of it was a poster that they had done this nationwide poll of something to the effect of, what administration did you feel like you were the most, like,
represented
or edified?
And speaking to the African-American population.
Right. And so overwhelmingly, there was circled Obama. And you could tell that this poll had been done before because Clinton's name was there. And those who had selected Clinton before scratched that out and circled Obama. And the young man that was with us, who was talking this whole time, said, "You see, they felt that they were edified or represented by this administration, but the truth is they lost their identity in that administration." Mm. And then the dream ended.
Now she don't know the history that President Clinton was considered, before President Barack Obama, was the first black president, first African-American president, which means they felt he represented that part of the population. And then, of course, Obama comes as an African-American president, and there's so many things that he represents that are good in the context of that aspect of it. Yeah. And then, but the truth is, God's heard the cry, because really, I believe that people took advantage of pain and victimized people again. Use issues to victimize the people. And now you have somebody who God is saying he's going to, this is that. This is the cry of your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a while to digest that. And so God is going to answer the injustice that's been happening in America. And I think that's just so exciting. And she had no idea about the history. Thank God for that. Okay, cut it. Thanks. Appreciate you. So that's so awesome. So you're looking, you know, we prayed, you know, who would be the president? And God put President Trump into office, literally put him into office. God touches his heart. He tells Vice President Mike Pence, pick us some great leaders, and have the most conservative cabinet that are probably in the history of America. Because, you know, these different things. And now you're looking at God saying in this prophetic dream to Brianna, who didn't know anything about, she was talking about Clinton, President Bill Clinton. And he was very helpful to the African-American population and our brothers and sisters and citizens. But then, of course, President Barack Obama, he really focused on a lot of issues. There's a lot of things he did that was not that, but this was good. Mm. And focusing on the issues that's happened with the against the history of the African-American community and everybody being fair and just. But what God is saying is that he's got this man, President Donald Trump, and he's going to be the best thing that's ever happened out of those three, out of Bill Clinton, out of Barack Obama, that Donald Trump will be the best impact, positive impact, the edification, the word is edify, the African-American community. So we need to support that. It's exciting. There's going to be things that back that up. And as a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we are going to go to the actual museum where Lonnie Bunch is the one that led that whole museum coming together, African-American Museum, and take us there in this interview. Join us after the break. Oh, wait, one more second. We have an offer for you. This offer is for you, for your partnership of any amount. We want to send this to you when you partner with us financially. It's time to stand up. It's time to make a difference. Of all the things that you could be doing with your finances, one thing you should be doing is supporting the new media, supporting the new way the truth is getting out, supporting encouraging media. And you can do that by supporting financially. We want to send this to you. It's a gift for any amount whatsoever. It's breaking free from that which gives Jezebel or controlling spirits access to you, and freedom from judgments. You know, your house can have a judgment. Your car can have a judgment. You can have judgments on you, and you can't sell your house till that judgment is taken care of. Do you know you can actually have one on you because of something you did? Well, find out how to get free from that. We just want to give this to you. As a matter of fact, here's some more details.
Offer 2026, breaking free from that which gives Jezebel access to you, freedom from judgments. Moving from a season where there was a Jezebel and Ahab leadership to God-ordained leadership that walks in His ways takes our willingness to leave the old, ungodly ways behind. How can we live a life of doing so many good things in the name of the Lord and still end up in being in a place where our loving, merciful, kind, and compassionate Lord tells us, "Nevertheless, I have this against you." This prophetic teaching helps us identify what keeps a Jezebel spirit in our life, family, church, business, and or our relationships. You'll discover how being critical and judgmental of others is not as innocent as a behavior as the world leads you to believe. You'll learn possibly why you've been feeling so condemned in your life about past or present behaviors. You'll learn how important and necessary it is to identify and deal correctly with a judgmental and critical spirit, and how lethal it is for us spiritually if we tolerate Jezebel and his or her ways. This message leads you to the wisdom in how to remove the spiritual weight, the drag, and the nets of judgments that may be restraining you from living the free life the Lord has called you to live in Him. We want to send you this offer to you for your gift of any amount. Become a VFN TV partner by going to VFNTV.com or write to us at VFN TV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2026. Breaking free from that which gives Jezebel access to you. Freedom from judgments.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, kids who aren't very logic smart, for instance, will really struggle with vocabulary, possibly, if they're not very word and logic. But what if they're very picture smart? We can let them draw the definition.
Dr. Kathy Cook offering hope to parents of children who are visual learners on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
What if we have these kids draw an apartment building, a condo, a house, a ranch-style home, a factory, and we prove through the drawing that they understand the differences? And parents can help kids study at home with those smarts that they have more brain cells. And even if they go back to school on Tuesday and take a written vocabulary test, your son who is picture smart, when having to write out the definition of apartment building, will remember, oh wait, I drew that taller and wider with all kinds of windows. That's the building that a lot of people live in independent units, and they pay rent to somebody. That will work for these kids.
Dr. Kathy Cook is an expert about the different facets of intelligence, and you can hear more from her at familyminute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Job could not explain a sovereign, infinite, all-loving God why he was dealing with such a good man in this manner. And the intimation of Job's questioning was, I want you now to give me a comprehensive answer for why I'm sitting in this ash pile when I have lived such an upright life before you. I learned if you're good, you'll be blessed. If you're bad, you'll be cursed. I've been good. I'm getting cursed. My theology is in shambles. And God says, Job, you have been questioning me for all these hours. Now it's my turn. Where were you when the foundations of the earth were laid? And he gives him 64 questions back to back, for which Job says, come to think of it, there are many other questions for which I don't have comprehensive answers, but I have just accepted them. You see, that sense of wonder has an enormous sense of awe to it, which becomes indispensable in life.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What an exciting day as we're seeing God respond to our citizens, the injustices that take place, that it hasn't stopped. I remember there was a big banquet that was going on. There's one thing I like about President Obama was his choices in music.
Yeah, he had some good concerts.
But he had a concert on the lawn, and some of the artists were saying their mindsets were, this will never happen again. And that's not God's plan.
Yeah.
That's not God's plan. You know, as they were celebrating the last days of President Obama, hopefully it'll be the last days of those kind of mindsets towards God and Israel and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But in regards to, it's not going to be. Obviously, God's saying that He has great plans in store for all the citizens of America, and specifically taught to us, as we just showed you right before the break, a prophecy, a prophetic dream where God spoke directly to the matter and said that He's going to deal with the injustices that's come towards the African American community, and He's going to use Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, to be able to do that. So we want to encourage him. We want to pray for him. And begin to realize, my goodness, have hope. Don't listen to the secular media. If you're a Christian, listen to God. Realize God loves you. God has got a plan for you. And God will balance the scales. Well, this is Lonnie Bunch. You're about to hear Lonnie Bunch is being interviewed by PBS. And he's the one that grabbed this bull by the horns and rode this whole museum out, the National Museum of the African American History and Culture, which is, that's probably the only reason I want to go to D.C. now to see that. And that, he's interviewed here and realized this. Some things are so big in the museum that they had to put it in before they built the museum.
Wow.
Some of the items were so big. And it tells the story, and it just, I can't wait to go there. I haven't been there. I've seen a few clips here and there. But obviously, they're not going to put the whole museum out on video because they wouldn't go to the museum. And it's exciting to see this. And I believe it's the answer to our prayer, because we've been praying for years that God would deal with the injustices of our nation. You know, the ending of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not resolve it. I mean, his cry was still to the last moment. He was going to go speak at Memphis when his life was taken. And he had the whole life to live and the message to still carry on. And I believe this is his legacy. I definitely believe this is his legacy. And it's so cool, as you saw earlier, you saw Dr. Evita King, which is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and standing right there at the side of the president. And he said, I've been watching you. You know, I watch you all the time. And he gave her a big hug. And it's mm-hmm. like, this is so exciting. And not only that, we have an African-American over HUD, you know, the House of Housing and Urban Development. And they have a heart for God, and they have a heart for the people. And you said,
and
said a pastor up north.
A.R. Bernard said that he counseled with Dr. Ben Carson, and Dr. Ben Carson had a choice between what agency he wanted to head, whether it was the health, you know,
Health and Human Services,
right, department, and he chose to be over HUD because he wanted his legacy, to be long lasting. He didn't want to be tied up in the health care and the repeal and all that other stuff. He wanted
because he's a doctor.
He's a brain surgeon.
So he's going to be there helping our citizens, and we don't know who that is. You don't know how our tomorrow will be. Getting in homes, getting a vision for the future, and we're very excited. We're actually going to share a lot more about that in our future programs. But right now, let's go right now to Lonnie Bunch. He's interviewed, and this is a man that carried this torch to the very end, to the grand opening of the museum, and the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Let's go there now.
Lonnie Bunch, it's so good to see you here.
It's my pleasure to have you with me.
It must be a capstone.
It's one of the most humbling and exciting moments of my entire life.
On this journey you have been to get to this point with this museum, what has been the biggest surprise for you along the way?
I think I've been stunned by the excitement and the way people really care. I mean, there are times I'll walk in an airport and people will just sort of give me the thumbs up, or I'll walk down the street and church ladies will come to me and say they're praying for me. So I think the fact that this means so much to so many people has been the biggest surprise for me.
Now, when you say that it means so much to so many people, you're not just talking about famous people or people in the museum?
I'm talking about people on the street who just walk up to me. I don't know who they are. They're not famous. This morning I was walking in and a woman stopped me and just said, "I know who you are. Thank you." That's the kind of thing I didn't expect, and that's been so humbling about this process.
What do you think that thanks is rooted in? Is it a sense that a story wasn't told?
I think it's a couple of things. I think, first of all, it's the acknowledgement that being on the National Mall in some ways says this story is important, is legitimate. But also the fact that on the National Mall means a lot of people will see this story. So it's not just a black story, that a lot of visitors will see it. And I think there's excitement about that. And I think that the realization is that once you have this museum on the Mall, it's going to be there as long as there's an America.
A lot of people think of black history as black history, not as American history. Was it important for you to be in the Mall in order to counter that notion?
It was really important to be on the Mall because in some ways, one of the great joys of the Smithsonian is people come to the Smithsonian and wrestle with issues, subjects that they won't in their own home. You know, they'll come to natural history even if they don't like natural history. So what I wanted was the recognition that there would be millions of people who get to explore African-American culture that they won't do in Chicago or Los Angeles or Dallas. I think for me, it really was an opportunity to say, this is not simply a story by black people for black people. That in essence, this was the quintessential American story. That if you wanted to understand who we are as Americans, our notions of resiliency and optimism and our sense of liberty and our changing notions of citizenship, where better to look than this community? So for me, this is all of our story.
But in this country, we are so nervous about talking about race, about engaging. We keep having national conversations about race, and it seems that this building itself is a big conversation. Did you encounter along the way any resistance to the notion that we talk about Americans only by race?
I think there was fear that we would be a place that might be divisive, that people wouldn't want to talk about race and that we would force them to talk about race. I think there was a great concern that would this just be a museum by black people for black people? And I think we had to counter that both by the kind of stories we told, by the way we tried to say, this is a story of America through an African-American lens.
And one of the most important parts of that is who gave to this museum, not just artifacts like we see here. We're surrounded in the sports gallery by Wilma Rudolph and Muhammad Ali and everyone.
Pretty cool.
It's amazing. Huh? It's extremely cool. But you're also talking about people who wrote small checks and big checks, many of them African-Americans, without necessarily the resources you would expect.
One of the things that I'm proudest of is that we have 100,000 people who have signed up as members, overwhelmingly African-American, $25, $100, because they realize something that I learned very early in my career, that the African-American community wanted a sense of ownership. And by being members, by getting a little plastic card, they get a sense of making something real. They get a sense of ownership. And that, to me, means so much. And what I really love, candidly, is that we were able to find a lot of resources within our community that people didn't know about, whether it's support from churches who don't normally give to cultural institutions, or the fraternities and sororities that have said, we want to give large sums of money to make this work. For me, it means that we've been able to prove that African Americans are an amazing source of philanthropy that'll change the way the Smithsonian and other cultural institutions do their work in the future.
We are at an interesting crossroads in our country. And you can define it by the violence and the disputes with police. You can define it by what we expect of our children and education and employment. You can define it by the imminent exit of the first black president. How amazing that this facility is opening now.
Well, I am so pleased that we're able to do this while President Obama's in office. It was one of the few promises I actually made, and that in some ways, no one would have known that we'd be at this moment. that there would be renewed attention to black-white friction, to renewed attention to black-police relationships. Candidly, in this political environment, there are issues of race that continue to divide us. This museum, my hope is, can basically be a kind of great convener, a safe space that contextualizes the issues that we wrestle with, that give people tools to live their lives. It is really exciting, but it's also a heavy responsibility, because our job is not to create just a museum, but to create a place that maybe through dialogue, through exhibitions, can make America better.
When Michelle Obama at the Democratic Convention mentioned that she wakes up every day in a home that was built by slaves, that resonated with a lot of people. Here we sit in a facility that was designed by black designers, built in part by black contractors, financed by black financiers. Is that also a mirror image of where we are?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to realize that while there was a lot of black support, there was a lot of non-African-American support. In some ways, for me, this is a hopeful museum, and that a variety of people said, regardless of race, this is an important story that must be told. But I think it's also important to realize that there is powerful support, resource in the African-American community, and for the fact that they came together to do this is really one of the most powerful things I think has happened during this process.
As this is coming together and you stroll from exhibit to exhibit and gallery to gallery, taking note of the 3D conceptualization of everything you've seen on paper, what takes you aback still after all this time? What do you look and go, oh, look at that?
Well, first of all, just that it's actually done. I mean, I spent hours looking at drawings, working with the curators, working with designers, and seeing it on paper, and then suddenly seeing that it's real. I think I am taken aback by, candidly, what an amazing group of colleagues I have who are able to take sort of an idea and make it real. I watched people, as I walked through the galleries, installing major artifacts, doing it with speed and care. So I'm really taken by that we're at this moment.
So when you see Harriet Tubman's shawl, or when you see, I don't know, any item, a pair of shoes from Shaq, does that pull you up short and say, when did we get that?
Most of the time, I'm pretty aware of where we got it. But I'm always struck when I turn a corner and I'll see a costume from Lena Horne. I didn't know we had that. Or I will see Althea Gibson's jacket. I'll think, what a great story this is. I'm so glad we have it. So I sort of walk through this place and discover new things every day.
Are you at all surprised at the incredible rush of interest in the opening? The minute you put tickets on sale, they were gone. You put some more on sale, they were gone.
I just got a report that we had 5,000 tickets that went in 18 minutes this morning. So I am stunned by the way the public has gotten excited about this. I'm pleased, I'm humbled, but I'm stunned. I didn't expect there to be that kind of interest. Clearly, as you said earlier, it's the time we're in. It's people worrying about, well, the president will be out of office soon. What does that mean for African Americans? But I'm so grateful that people get to see this work that so many people spent years to make real.
On a mall, which is full of white buildings, except maybe the Smithsonian Castle. You have a crown. You have almost a New Orleans-type fretwork on the exterior. When it first went up, I have to say, I thought, what are they doing? And then when it was lit, and when I thought, oh, I get this. That was on purpose, wasn't it?
Yes. Maybe because I came back from Chicago, where architecture is so key to everything, that I wanted to do a building that would be signature, that would be distinctive. But then I realized that if we could take this corona and really take those images or those designs that enslaved craft people did of the ironwork in Charleston and New Orleans, what we were really saying is, on the one hand, we were paying homage to those folks. But we were also, as Michelle Obama said, we were also saying so much of our history is hidden in plain sight. And we wanted to encourage people just to look, to realize how the built environment has been shaped by the African-American community, the political environment has, and the cultural environment has.
Is it fair to say that for the first few weeks, there will be a lot of black faces in line to come into this museum, but over the long term, would you be happier to see a broader mixture?
Well, we expect this to be one of the most diversely visited places in America. When we did a lot of our surveys early on, 75% of white Americans said this is a story they want to know as well. So we think being part of the Smithsonian, telling a story that is in the news now about race in America, I think that this will be a place, I hope, that a diversity of Americans come and call home.
And I want to ask you, go back one moment to the idea of change. What happens in the future? What you see here today that won't be here tomorrow, other things will be. How much of a living museum will this be?
I think this museum has to be as much about today and tomorrow's as about yesterday. So part of the job is to collect current affairs. So we collect Black Lives Matter. We look at, you know, what are contemporary artists doing so that sometimes we will use them. Other times we want to make sure that, unlike early in my career, when there were stories I wanted to tell and I would look in collections, there was nothing there. I want to make sure that curators 50 years from now can tell the story of today if that's what they want to tell. So I hope this museum will continue to evolve, continue to change, because it really has to be a place that is the great convener, that can bring anybody and everybody into a conversation around race. And that conversation should change over time. And hopefully a future director will be smarter than I am and come up with better ideas.
Lonnie Bunch, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This is so exciting. Wow. You know, the history is being told, and it's just everything. Not just a slant history, this being told from an African-American perspective, that
right.
It was everybody that participated in it. And, of course, the taxpayer participated in it a big time. And I want to go there. I definitely want to go there and to be able to see it. And I'm excited that our president's supporting it. That's where President Trump was speaking from, right there from the museum. And, of course, she's passed away.
Yes, Gwen Ifill. She's now just, you know, passed.
She passed after the interview, and our hearts go out and the prayers go out to her family. And she was a staple for a long time.
Long time. Was a moderator at some of the presidential and vice presidential debates.
Yeah, and I believe it was breast cancer that she just had this battle with. I think during that time.
Yeah.
She fought through it, and our hearts and prayers go out to her. And with Lonnie Bunch, oh my goodness, this guy's something, isn't
Sharp,
he?
Sharp, huh?
He is the man, and he never let anybody isolate him and try to put him in some sort of, you know, slant.
Box.
It's like, this is an American thing. It's all of us. It's just being told from an African-American perspective, America's story is. And it's the whole story. And I can't wait. And people began to donate items. Like I said before his interview, some items were so large and so big that they had to put them in before they finished building it. And then they built around it. And so I can't wait to see it. If you get a chance, you go to Washington, D.C. It's right there on the mall. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of stuff on the mall. And forget about seeing dinosaur bones. Now you can go to this awesome new museum that's established there, the African American History and Culture Museum. Well, join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you, too.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blur out?
The letter showed up in my mailbox with no tracks in the snow.
Ain't it just like
you're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something. This is all I got.
Ain't it just like love to leave a mark on the skin and underneath?
Thank you.
group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We're supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet got your tickets for The Shack,
yes,
the movie, listen, we need to support when movies come out in a positive light towards, you know, the community, towards people and God. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to participate in that. And that's, you know, whatever we pay attention to and support is what we have more of.
Well, this is the media mountain. This is it.
Yeah, it's the media mountain, and it's a limited opening. So grab your tickets. Let them know you want to go. And if you can't go, still buy the tickets so that the movie will stay around and do really, really good. I want to be able to pray with you right now. Father God, we thank you for Lonnie Bunch and what he's done in regards to the African American History and Culture Museum. God, we thank you for President Donald Trump, who's standing up against anti-Semitism, and Vice President Mike Pence, who's standing up against anti-Semitism, and how you told us that he is going to represent and do well towards the African American parts of our community, God. We're very excited about that, watching you do that. We just pray wisdom over our president, wisdom over our nation. We pray for unity to come around and one nation under God. E pluribus unum, though we're many, that we're one. God, I pray for that unity to come back, that unity angel that was spoken about prophetically by Patricia King, God, that you would just release that unity angel over America again, God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
she
my goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just, it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because mm-hmm. she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.